Welcome back to the Ramble Room and our special show on Medicaid expansion. At the end of part one, you'll remember that we played our three representatives, a series of sound bites from a recent show on Public Pulse. We're going to begin where we left off. We wanted to play a couple of clips for you. Danielle Arnaud, I'm sure most of you know her position within the Democratic Party. She was on Public Pulse the other day, and I'm going to play you three little sound clips real quick, and then we're going to ask your reaction. And after we're finished with that, I'm going to play you one more sound clip and get your reaction to that. First one.
It's going to be so great for so many families and children. Most of the people that will be covered with Medicaid expansion are going to be elderly and children.
The incentive is for 2 years. That doesn't mean it won't get extended. It could possibly get extended. But right now, there's 2 years of free, not just free health care for our state to expand, but actually increases in revenues based on the money that would come in from this program.
Right, and this will help support those. I do believe it was a hospital administrator who said, you know, all right, well, yeah, Medicaid is only going to pay X amount, but X amount is still more then nothing.
Correct.
Isn't it?
We're paying for it anyway with uncompensated care.
Well, Chip had a pretty good reaction. Let's go with him first.
And I was going to ask Mark to go first, but he got up and left. Representative Nyman, comments.
Wow. I marvel at the whole idea that it's free. I just am amazed at the word public or government, you know, healthcare and free are in the same sentence. And it's not free. There is nothing free about it. We're paying for this. We all pay for this. This is not free. Just because you personally didn't get, there's a way of describing this. And it's, you know, you talk about how you spend money and how the government spends money. You know, there's first party spending. That's spending that you spend with money that you made on something you personally are going to use. That's first party. Okay, second party spending is spending money that you personally made, which means that you're going to be concerned about, first of all, how much it costs, and you're going to give this item that you're going to spend this money on to someone else. So you're a little less concerned about the quality. You know, when you look at this on first party spending, if you're spending it for money that you made on something you're going to use, you're going to be concerned most about what it costs and the quality of it, whether or not it's going to last. Second party spending, you're concerned about the cost, but you're a little less critical about the quality. You know, in the example, you know, plaid, yeah, I think she'll like it. You know, I think it does not, because I'm not wearing it. It doesn't really matter to me.
Can't see it from my house.
Can't see it from my house, so it's not really critical to me that I know about it. But third party spending, and that is spending money that you did not personally earn on something you're not personally going to use. And by definition, all government purchases are third-party purchases. Purchased with money they did not personally earn on things they're not personally going to use. And that just gags me. I'm sorry, but it just gags me when we hear that's just, oh, there's just free money out there. Sure, they don't care. It's not going to bother them because they're just going to squeeze some more out of taxpayers, people that are working. We're going to increase your fees. We're going to increase your property taxes. We're going to increase your income taxes, your whatever it is. But we're going to gather the money, not concerned about necessarily how it's spent or what it's spent on. And so when we talk about Medicaid, we talk about this money being spent. There's this idea that we're just showering dollars from heaven and we just need to go out there with our rakes and rake them into a pile and just sweep them into our coffers, and it's just a huge financial benefit. That is about as disingenuous as anything I've ever heard in my life.
Oh, huh?
Sorry.
Listen to this argument.
Okay.
Misconception, isn't there, that everyone's just sitting around waiting for healthcare to just dump in their lap. No one's going to work.
That's right.
But that's not the case, is it?
No, it's not. And Danielle's story is not unique, unfortunately. I mean, the legislature itself had estimates of 19,000 people would qualify if we expanded Medicaid. These are people who are in that, what we call the coverage gap, right? The people who don't qualify for Medicaid now but cannot afford something under the current healthcare marketplace. And so they said up to 19,000 people. Estimates go way up, much more than that. And there would have been no negative impact on the budget from this. In fact, there actually would have been a $34 million net savings over 2 years to the budget. So this was free health care for people for 2 years.
John Baer.
I'll address that clip, but the previous one is really on my mind.
Yeah, they go together. You do it any way you want to do it.
Well, first of all, there was a comment about how this was for elderly and children, and Medicaid, just plain old Medicaid, is for the disabled, the elderly who can't afford it, those kinds of things anyway. So that's an emotional plea, but let's talk about what Medicaid expansion really is. This came about 10 years ago when Obamacare came out. The effort was to provide 100% coverage. So you already had Medicaid, which covers the very people that they're trying to emotionally tie this Medicaid expansion to. They already had Medicaid, and then we had the exchange where you were supposed to be able to keep your doctor if you wanted to.
Yeah, that worked out pretty well.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That kind of, yeah.
And so so Medicaid expansion was to fill the gap between those two. And as Mark mentioned, it's been fought in the House for 10 years now and should continue to be fought because of the issues that we've brought up already. But to say that it's going to help those people is exactly the opposite of the truth. Because the truth is that we're going to take people who are between 100 and 133% of the poverty level, and we're going to give them health care, free health care.
Just 138.
138. Thank you for that correction. But anyway.
Clarification.
We're talking about able-bodied people, people who can work, okay? And now, the reason you see in states, the number that gave in that last quote was 19,000. The number we were given in testimony was 24,000, but when you look at every state that's done it, it's been between double or triple of those estimates. And the reason is you provide a free health care based on your income level, and somebody who's just a little bit above that has a way to figure out how to manipulate their income to get it down to that level where they can qualify for free versus subsidized health care. And so now you're taking people who are able-bodied and dumping them into that Medicaid realm, and eventually that money gets spread out. So those people who are originally on Medicaid, now they're getting less care. And so we're really beginning to hurt the elderly and those who are disabled and the children. Instead of helping them, we're not helping them, we're hurting them. We're doing the exact opposite. And so it's so disingenuous to say that that's what it's going to help. And they're just using an emotional plea to try to get people to sign on to this. And the truth is they're going to hurt those very people they're saying they're going to help.
Absolutely.
Precisely.
What do you think, Mark? Before
you go, because I know you a little bit, I want to throw one more on top of this. Because I know, you know, you would make an excellent Toastmaster. And you're ready to handle the table topic. So before Representative Mark Jemmings answers, I'm going to throw this one more soundbite on top of it. You got a lot of experience. You're up to this. Okay.
I am a college-educated, you know, single mother. I am not a beggar on the streets, you know, with a brown bag. I am an American citizen. I deserve the right to live and thrive. And when we can't make it on the wages that are around here, it's just, that's the only choice that we have. So sometimes it's a choice between putting gas in the car and, you know, eating. I don't think people realize that. I think that they think that we're just, you know, waiting for the government to hand us dollars, and that's just not the case. So I really want to share my story and let people know that that's who I am, and I love the federal government. I love to pay my taxes for people like me that are working.
You need to breathe for a minute?
Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, we could attack a number of points to this, but really, I think what we ought to really do is take this back to the fundamental ideological debate that it really is, and what this is socialism. And Margaret Thatcher says it best, you know, socialism's great until you run out of other people's money. And the people's money that we're spending is our great-great-grandchildren's and the opportunities that they might be afforded. When you get to that part where you see socialism as a good thing in your culture, we're not talking about helping people. That's a different issue. Because probably every one of us here would agree that it's a good thing to help people. But when you get to the point of really embracing as a culture socialism, I deserve these things. Really? Do we?
It's owed to me.
Where's our personal responsibility in that? I mean, we call them entry-level jobs for a reason. And then we go out and we work hard at that. We move up and that opportunity. And I think we're blessed to live in America. That doesn't mean that I think that every country around the world or in time is have the same opportunities, but people fought and bled and died to give these opportunities to us. And so when we flippantly look at things, really socialized medicine is really what we're talking about here. I mean, we can call it Medicaid expansion. We can call it all kinds of benevolent things, but really it's socialized medicine. And the whole goal all the way back to Obamacare is single payer. That's the whole idea. So if you like this notion, go study out what it looked like in Europe. Go look at the waiting list in Canada. Go look at why are so many people still trying to come to America? Because we have personal responsibility, we have things, and we haven't so far, although currently in our culture, I think we're very close to embracing this socialism. And this is just one large part for the state of Wyoming. It's a mistake, and it's not one that we can back out of.
Well, the part that I find so offensive in that last quotation is that I have a right to this. I have a right to free health care. No, you don't. You have an opportunity to get a job to pay for your health care. You don't have a right.
She should look that up. I'd like to see that part in the Constitution.
You have a right to go get those things, but you don't have a right to take the wherewithal to gather them from me.
You don't have the right to steal them from other people.
Correctly. Well, Walter Williams put that very well, and we did it in a show here just a little bit ago, where forcibly taking assets from one person to benefit somebody else is tantamount to slavery.
And if they want to do the consent, people are free to give.
Sure.
And we'd encourage that. That's what we ought to be doing as a government.
I would defy you to find a country more benevolent than the United States.
There isn't one. I mean, Wyoming is. But America is the most generous, the most prosperous, the most free country that the world has ever known. And you have people like Danielle Arnault and the Democrat Party and some of the frontier Republicans that they're going around and saying, well, no, we're not generous. You know, we have to pass laws so that you can be given health care. Well, that's not the way our country works. I mean, you have an opportunity to be able to make a good living and pay for that yourself. You don't have a right to take it from somebody else. I mean, I just find that completely offensive.
There are people out there, and you know, I've spent 10 years in the military, people that sacrificed a lot, and then they find themselves in a position where they're just flat out unable, through some means not of their own, to go out and handle that. That's a different item. Exactly. But man, there are so many private industries out there and churches and all kinds of organizations full of benevolent people that stand up and fill the gaps. I've said this many times. You take government out of the way and quit fouling up the works and allow the free market to take over, allow these people to find the need and fill it and put it out there, and people are going to be way better off. That's true benevolence in my mind.
If you'll go back to before the war on poverty, you will find that, take the black community, for instance, there were far more complete families with fathers in the home prior to the war on poverty. And so there are things that government cannot do. And if they do, they'll do them poorly. And benevolence is one of them. I would, I totally would appreciate and do appreciate our military. I would argue that if we'd go back even even before we started taking our VA system, that there were probably, I don't know what the study would look like, but I think you would find that there was a lot more benevolence towards military people that were disabled. And once you turn it over to government, it just there's not very many things that government should be doing. I mean, military is one of them. But you got to be really careful with where you go with that benevolence.
I was listening to this show a couple weeks ago, and you guys were talking about the VA in particular, and that's what I thought of when you were talking about socialized medicine. And being a military veteran myself, I've purposely avoided the VA because I experienced that social medicine, socialized medicine in the military, where it was actually the best it could be for our military members. But once you got into the VA, well, we all know the horror stories of what's happened with the VA. I do believe under the Trump administration, it was starting to turn a corner and be the best that it could have been. I'm not sure what the hope will be now as we just try to socialize all this medicine. But we have a petri dish that we can look at as to exactly what happens when the government manages healthcare. And we should really look at that. And I think it would scare most Americans. If you recall back when Obamacare was being sold to us, I believe 78% of Americans had health care that they were pleased with. And I don't think you can say that today.
No.
And that's the result of one additional takeover of government in that sector. And we have lots of examples of how far it can go in the VA, and it is really scary. I do recall there was an actor that said that Cuba had great health care, and that was a sham show, and you know, people bought into it still, because they want to. They want to believe that free is good and can be done by the government. And again, it goes back to that human nature, you know, and I keep mentioning the value of something when it's not free. You know, in business, you learn that, you know, there are some things that you can give away to create more business. But really, the true good marketer won't give it away completely free. If you invite people to a church event, it's even better to charge $5 because then they'll show up. If they sign up and they haven't got any kind of investment in it at all, they aren't as likely to show up. And it's just showing that there's a little value there. Now, they mentioned that in one of those quotes that it's free. But even that's not true. It's only a 90% federal fund and then 10% state fund. But if you look at what the 10%, well, even if you look at the 10% for 2 years, what that's going to cost the state, it's no little
thing. But it's still not free, John, because the 90% had to be stolen from someone.